All right. Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Geek Vibes Interview brought to you by Geek Vibes Nation. I'm your host, Don Fisher. And today I have with me an actress who is now also a writer, executive producer, and director. You've seen her in the film Hustlers, as well as various television shows such as Invasion and Blacklist. Now starring in a new spinoff series from the Walking Dead universe, Tales of the Walking Dead, please welcome Kirstie Bryan. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay. So long winded one, but you know, it felt good when I wrote it. I was like, I like that one.
That was like A plus. A plus.
So yeah, you're in the new Walking Dead spinoff, Tales of the Walking Dead. I've been watching The Walking Dead since 2010, since it first started. So it's been a long time. I feel like it's a big chunk of my life. And they're doing all these different spinoffs, and some are hit and some are miss, but this one is, it's refreshing. I feel like it's doesn't take itself as serious because it is an anthology series. But stepping into this realm with such an expansive, you know, television universe, is there any kind of intimidation when you first got the role?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just described it. I mean, folks have been following this for 10 years. And to be kind of a new spinoff, like, these fans really know the world. They know what's up. So I think that's part of the intimidation, is hopefully that the fans feel satisfied, or there's enough to chew on, or there's enough to, like, you know, I think that this is, as you say, like, it's an anthology series. So each episode sits kind of like its own movie. And so you get an opportunity to meet a new set of characters on a new adventure and the different time periods of the world. And so I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, so you're the first episode, the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Which is probably a lot of pressure, I would assume. you did great, by the way.
Thank you.
And I think what makes these episodes so good is the fact that you, instead of following this giant group of people, you have, there's three of you, and you get to really focus on these characters, and you get to love them right away, or you get to hate them right away, and you don't have to wait for that buildup. And so I wanted to ask you, when we get to your character, which is Sandra slash, what was the username? You should be scared.
You should be scared.
Was there any kind of preparation that you like, I want to take some of this character and this character to make your character? Because to me, I got kind of like Topanga vibes mixed with like some Joker.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, Topanga, that's the first time. I'm liking this. That's good. You know, so Sandra was a character that was a very, like, the design team came, you know, because I also had seen, you know, a lot of Walking Dead, and I thought, you know, oh my gosh, I got an opportunity to be in it. I assumed we'd have a large cast. And when I opened that script, there was only three people in it. I was like, there's been a mistake. And then I read her character and I was like, this is different than I have ever seen in the tone of the different shows. So I was like, okay, they're trying something else. And I think that's awesome. But it could go to, you know, many ways. Like, if I'm not, you know, gonna, because you watch the show to make sure you're in the right world, you're in the right universe of tone and everything like that. So it was really fun to talk with the design team and the directors and the showrunner and all those folks to kind of get a sense of what they wanted Sandra to be. Because she could be anything. And so they kind of dropped in, because can I reveal stuff? Is it okay if I spoil? Okay. She kind of is revealed to be a serial killer. And I was like, this, there's so many ways that could play, you know, so there's so many different types of serial killers in the world. So they said, we're curious about Mommy Dearest. Whatever happened to Baby Jane, which was kind of an old school movie with Faye Dunaway. And then there was the Joker. But I had like 5 days to prepare, like not a lot of time. And so when you get like a role like this, it's just like, oh my gosh, like there, you could throw anything at it. And so I kind of went down and really researched. I did watch those films, but then really I kind of tried to research some people, women like Sandra, who would be prepping like she is. And there's a small community of women that are really into prepping, and they have like, you know, their YouTube channels, and then you kind of go down that rabbit hole and things like that. So that's how I prepared, I mean, as best I could.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the interesting takes on that episode, is that we know these characters exist in this universe, but we never really get too much time to focus on what being alone for a long time will do to your mind, and, you know, your lack of trust. And, you know, as most people, they're fans of the universe, they know, like, it's not the walkers or the toe tags that you have to look out for, it's the humans, because, you know, things are scarce, so they're going to try to take what they can.
I think that's the cool thing about the show, is you see humans under such conditions, and then what happens there. I love that you, the toe tag, the walkers, yeah.
what is it like, because I feel like I've looking through your all your roles, it seems like you went from small things to like thrust into like with big names. And this one, you're with Terry Crews and Olivia Munn. What was that like?
Whoa, jump. I would say, you know, I've had, apologies, my neighbor's dog is barking. I have had kind of a career that has had like a trajectory kind of like this. And I've actually felt very grateful for it, because that is an opportunity to kind of, you know, I my first like professional theater job, I was like delivering letters. You know, you're in the back carrying the thing, and you're like, deliver the letter. And then you're not carrying the show. But what you do have an opportunity to do then is you're learning all the time. Like, you're watching like the folks that you're working with, you're watching how they're behaving, how they're preparing, how they're, you know, and so that's been such a like a dream to kind of just have that. Because once this came along, I was so ready. You know, I was so ready, knew how to prepare, knew, you know, the world of this. And for those that, you know, are interested in acting, like that's something, you know, it's like a set is a big place. And like the bigger the set, the more like crazy it gets. And like, who do you need to like, you know, how do you keep maintain your energy, but also like be part of the team? And so I think like that like slow growth has really helped me kind of like learn.
Yeah. I mean, what's the saying? You gotta stay ready to be ready or whatever.
It's like you're training every day. Like, even if you're like the tiniest, I don't want to, there are no small parts. Like, everybody's part of the world. So it's like, how do you, you know, flesh out a character that's really going to be there for a minute and enter the world, support the story? Like, it's that actually is the hardest job, because when you're carrying a show, you really get to like control a lot of the story. Right. So I have such a deep respect for those actors that like plug in, like nail it, and, you know, are we don't see them in this world again.
Yeah. And I think that it's cool about too is that, like you said, there's no small parts. I really enjoy going back and watching a movie I love that was from like 10 years ago, or a TV show, and you go, that person's a big star now. I forgot they're in this. That's crazy, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, that you can like kind of track folks and how they've kind of grown. I mean, that's like, so let's hope that we're always growing.
Yeah, and I definitely think that the Sandra's character is one that's gonna stick out to people and stay with them as they continue to watch the rest of the episodes.
Oh, good, because this is my campaign to get everybody to go to Sandra's for Halloween. So everybody, this is where I'm. Good. I'm just asking, you know. But it's so funny. Terry Crews said that to me. that was, he like saw when he first saw Sandra's character, because I didn't want him to see the crazy face until he really needed to.
Right, right.
And so when he saw it, he was like, if people don't go, it's Sandra for Halloween, we haven't done our job. And I was like, right? Yeah, and I did that with like a big old face of scary makeup. Right? Yeah. So
So before we transitioned into to Egg Party, how do you think that you would fare in an apocalypse, a zombie apocalypse, should I say?
Whoa, great question. I think we have had some good opportunity to like assess in the last couple of years what we're gonna need. And I think we're not gonna need toilet paper. I think we're gonna need water. I think we're gonna need generators. I think we're gonna need, more importantly than I think we ever knew, we're gonna need good people around us. Sure. That's like the takeaway from, I think, from Sandra's like cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And is that she thought she could do this alone. And in the end, we really can't. We have, like, we need good folks around us. And yes, of course, you want like the medic and you want, you know, someone who knows how to maybe build a bridge or something like that. But also you need the person with the guitar. You need that keeps us like reminded why humanity is worthy to like keep going. Like, so that's what I think we like as we prepare. Am I ready for this? I think about it, you know, like my lists of things that I should probably have in like the closet and things like that. And I don't think it's wrong to prepare, but I think going down the rabbit hole too dark for too long, you know, I the thing is be prepared and realistic, but also let's celebrate when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's celebrate that like the apocalypse has not come. Like, so I think that like we only get one life, so like throw some joy in there too. And also, we're not islands.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
Yeah.
So let's transition into Egg Party. So now you're in the director's chair, you're in the writer's chair. And I know as a writer myself, I know how difficult it can be sometimes when you're looking at the blank screen and you're like, okay.
You know, I had a really extraordinary writing team with me, which helps. Again, it's like, we're not alone. Like, I had Ashton Heil and Claire Kennedy are two dear pals, and they came together with me to kind of crack open this film. So Egg Party is a 10-minute whimsical short about six 30-something women that come together in a Brooklyn apartment and for like a not so sober like egg decorating party. Like, they're decorating eggs, and then each woman gets a portrait of her and what her egg is doing. So it's kind of, so for example, like one woman's egg is in a
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Floating in a like a wine glass, and you're like, oh, she doesn't want kids. And then another one has her eggs on ice. And then what we realize is that actually they've all come together to be with their friend who's been struggling with miscarriage. And so in we shot this before the pandemic, like right on the, like the razor's edge. We were March 14th, 15th, 2020. Oh. And that we were like, and the next day, like the city shut down. And so that actually gave me a chance to like get that thing cut, you know, get it ready to go. And then like it went, had a really good festival run. We got a number of audience awards, and got the Panavision first time filmmaker award. But the wonder was like, I thought we were just going to please, you know, maybe women of a certain age that like kind of get it. But really, I was surprised that men who, you know, think about parenthood or have this in their lives, women in their 20s were like, I have not thought about this. And then like my godmother was like, this is kind of in conversation with what the choices I had to make. So I guess right now, what's happening in the United States, being a woman and really discussing maternal health and choice and all these things, it suddenly became like a really prescient movie.
Yeah.
Like we loved it. We thought it was moving and hopefully funny for people and comforting. But now we've decided to stop the festival run. Okay. And because we want to get it to the audiences right away. And that's for you and anyone that really, you know, needs some comfort to say like, look, we stand with you,
right,
whatever choice you make, and we got you. So that's coming out very soon online.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch it last night. And I think the one thing that I really loved about it off the rip was how unapologetically female it is, because there's, you know, I'm sure you've seen online, there's this weird vacuum of people who, for whatever reason, don't want women in the lead. They don't want them in charge. They don't want women's stories. But I've heard all the guy stories. They're all kind of similar. I need different perspectives and points of view. And I was raised by women. I have a lot of women that are friends. So like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, I've heard these conversations. I know how hard they are, especially the scene where she's like in the bathroom crying and they show her album.
That's a hard, you're left. I'm going to just say, but that's Sophie von Hasselberg, beautiful actress. And she does such a gorgeous job. But yeah, that scene just breaks your heart, because that's how women are experiencing this. They're experiencing it alone in their bathroom, you know, or where it's like,
Yeah, because go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think it touches on that part of like, there is not enough words that can console a woman going through that issue, and there's no easy fix, and you go through is it my fault? Is it like, what is wrong with me? Because I know this is the thing I'm supposed to do. So I know how hard that hits. And so when I was watching it, I was just like, I wanted to show my wife, and I was like,
I know it's hard because especially like I hope how people will. Thank you so much for watching, by the way. That's really, really wonderful of you. A friend would watch it and be like, oh, you know, I have someone that needs to see this.
Yeah.
And like that's how I hope. It's meant to be a warm hug, honestly, because you're like, you're right. There are no words for this. There are no words. And we don't know the future for these characters. I don't know if it works out. I hope it does, but whatever they have, they're going to be together in it. And so I think that was kind of the message, is like, you get a bunch of women that are making different choices, you know, like some women, like they're working hard, they don't want, like, or there's a character, it's very allegorical. Sometimes you might have to watch it twice. You're like, oh, now I get it. But then there's the woman who really doesn't want kids. And like that's another, like, you know, person that just gets a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
But then there are the women that are seeking motherhood through pregnancy and are being challenged, and it feels like you're alone. So hopefully it's a comedy.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, like I was just about to say, there's a line in there that I thought was great. And of course, as I'm in my male mind, I wouldn't have thought about it. And I think that it kind of lets a man enter into that world a little bit, where I think there was said something about the guy getting kicked in the groin, and she was like, "Yeah, well, you pulled out my IUD and it came out my cervix." And I was like, "Oh, that hurt. That's funny," because I wouldn't know without have seeing that like that's a pain that, you know, guys don't think about that could possibly happen. And I thought it was great because it was very in this kind of a peek into this group of women, you know, behind closed doors. It was really good.
Yeah, that's some of my co-writers, Ashton Heil and Claire Kennedy. That was one of their jokes. And it was like really, really like, oh, that works. Ooh, ooh, ow.
Was this something that, if you don't mind me asking, was this like a personal
experience? So it is not a personal story experience of mine. But what had happened was, I was attending an egg decorating party, and I had put in my calendar dying egg party spelled wrong. Oh. And I like remember looking at it being like, oh my God, that's terrible. And so when I rolled in, it was like a bunch of women that like were all comedians, and I was kind of like an outsider, but they were talking about things, they were dying eggs and like talking about things that I couldn't say out of my face. You know, it's like about aging and like stuff that was just going on in their lives. And like, so I got this idea for this film, but at that same moment, and I'm sure I'm not alone, I was having conversations with a lot of my friends that were really having this experience, you know, like miscarriage in various forms. And it was like heavy, heavy stuff. Right. And so it wasn't a personal story of mine, but it felt like maybe this would be a good way to kind of bring it all together. What was a little cavalier of me was that I started throwing the script over to, like, you know, all my friends are like the greatest actors of all time. And it's like, hey, you want to help me do it? I want you in this movie, please, please, please. And actors and like designers and, you know, people, I was like, please, please, please. What I didn't know is who had actually had this experience and had never come forward. So it's so unspoken that like, even I didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know. And so that was really cavalier of me. Because I was like, great movie, right? And he's like, yeah, it's really good. And it's good for this reason. And I was like, oh, geez. So I think that that's been wonderful for me to just kind of sit and listen and hopefully create a space for us to kind of have a bigger conversation about choice. And also these bigger questions of fertility and what do you want to do with your creativity? Like, I mean, and I love that this is a conversation that women have to have, because like, it's a strange moment in your lives where if you're considering motherhood, so sorry, my phone just, it's fine. Yeah. All that to say is, it hopefully will start conversation between friends or and so that's why we the distribution piece, it's meant to go online. It just gotta go online. Yeah. So people can
I think it has that perfect balance of serious and levity with like the personalized eggs. And I was like, that's such a good touch that is subtle, because at first I was like, okay. And then after about, I think probably the second or third one, I was like, oh, wait, let me go back. Oh, I get it. That's okay. Okay. So it's really good. It's really good. I watched it twice. And like you said, like the second time everything clicked a lot more. That's when you know you're a true creative, when you took something like typing in something wrong and something clicked in your brain, and you're just like, I have an idea.
It's like, ooh, that's bleak. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. Let's follow. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, for all of us that in any way, like, you know, write your story, play your music. You just don't know what's cooking. Like, you kind of just have to be in the flow of things. And I'm so supportive of being in expression, because being human is really hard. And being able to have some way to kind of unpack that, be it writing, be it with friends, you know, whatever it is, like, I just encourage that, because tough job we got here.
Right.
Life. But also, I mean, what we're one in like a Googleplex, like, to that we won the lottery to be here today.
Right.
Like, talk about, like, we got to be grateful for that piece too.
For sure. So my last question is a little more of a fun question.
Okay.
If you were a cartoon character, what would be your everyday outfit?
Oh my gosh. Do you want to know the first that came to mind?
Sure.
Was like Donald Duck with like no pants. He's got no pants, right?
Hey,
that would be like my, that would be like my everyday carry, like my everyday, like that would be my everyday outfit. What about you?
See, I'm very simple, so it'd be some kind of all black attire. I'd probably look like Morbius from The Matrix, like.
Ooh.
Morbius, my bad.
That would be Matrix. Yeah. You'd look elegant. You'd be like on point. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, Don, such a pleasure to chat with you. And yeah. I enjoyed catching up on your work.
And I originally was like, oh yeah, I'll need like 15 minutes. I was like, I'm going to go over. I know I am. It's okay though.
We can chat all day. I'm all right with that. But hopefully I can visit you all soon. And thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure everyone check out Tales of the Walking Dead on AMC right now, premiered August 14th, and then look out for Egg Party coming soon to us online. Where can people find you online, on social media?
Oh, yeah, I'm on Insta, and I'm on Twitter. I've got Facebook, but I think, you know, I look at it. You'll find me there too. But yeah, Instagram's great. It's Kersti Danger. Kersti Danger.
Danger.
Which is a little strange because Sandra was, you should be scared.
You're made for it.
That's right. But no, it's Kersti Danger. It's for adventure.
Again, thank you. And hopefully we do this again soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.